Hello, and thank you for downloading this episode of Design in Conversation. I'm Zach Graff, welcoming you to our first episode. Let's start the conversation. Today we have for you an interview with Toby Fairley, but first I want to let you know what we're all about. Design in Conversation is an interview and talk series bringing you conversations with designers, artists, and creative personalities from throughout the design industry. We'll feature candid conversations with top interior designers across the country and even from around the world. We'll be bringing you insight from designers moving the needle in the design world. We'll also bring you interviews with new and established artisans, makers, and craftsmen who create the actual tools of the trade used in design projects of all sizes and all budgets. We plan to bring you news about the design industry through coverage of special events, whether it's a walkthrough of a spectacular showhouse, a firsthand account from the floor of the latest trade show, book previews, author interviews, even panel discussions. Conversations with designers are our focus here, and to that end, we'll bring you designer-client interviews, allowing you to peek behind the curtain and hear opinions from both sides of the process. We'll have discussions with interior design partners like architects, landscape designers, builders, and the likes, giving you additional insight on the collaborative nature of interior design. When you tune in to each new episode of Design in Conversation, you'll hear designers share their creative inspiration, and most importantly, you'll be hearing from designers themselves and in their own words as we bring you the voice behind the designs. Last thing before we get to the interview with Toby. We want to hear from you. Tell us who you want to hear next on the show. You can email the show at this address, pencils ready, designandconversation@gmail.com. Drop us a line there and we'll be sure to respond. You can also connect with us through social media. Find us on Facebook at facebook.com/designandconversation. Or you can follow us on Twitter. Our full name, Design in Conversation, was a few too many characters long, so follow us at designinconvo on Twitter. Okay, pencils down. If you found us through iTunes, please click subscribe to get new episodes as soon as they're available. And while you're there, tell us how we're doing. Give us a rating of 3, 4, or even 5 stars. Any rating helps, but the higher the better. That pushes the show up in the rankings and lets more people learn about the show. Oh, you gave us 5 stars already? Thanks. Stay tuned to Facebook and Twitter for all the latest news and images, links to new episodes, more information about our guests and the show, and you can visit our website at www.designinconversation.com. You can download episodes or subscribe to the RSS audio feed there as well. Now to the interview. My guest today is Toby Fairley. Toby is a talented interior designer hailing from Little Rock, Arkansas, with projects and clients spanning the southern states and varied points east to Charleston, South Carolina, and all the way west to Los Angeles. Her work's been featured on the cover of House Beautiful and in the pages of Shelter Magazine's Traditional Home, Better Homes and Gardens, Southern Living, just to name a few, and her work has graced the cover of At Home in Arkansas magazine on 9 occasions. Joining us today on the hotline all the way from Little Rock, Toby Fairley. Welcome to the show. Welcome to Design and Conversation. How are you?
I'm great. Thank you.
Well, thanks for coming on. This is a new enterprise for us, so I really appreciate you being one of our first guests. It's really kind of exciting for us here in LA. And I loved this quote when I was doing research for the show. This quote comes from your piece in Traditional Home. Toby will be like Cher or Oprah, one of those women for whom one name says it all. Are you going just by Toby now?
Not yet, but my husband might not like that too much. He's a little old-fashioned in the name thing.
Yeah, so you took his name, so it's still Toby Fairley for now. Great.
It is for now, yeah.
Well, how are things in Little Rock? It's kind of hot here in L.A. People are freaking out.
Well, it's a little warm here. It's been so cool all summer as far as Arkansas summers go, though, so I can't really complain. It's been very nice, so... a little warm now, but lots of stuff going on here. I just bought a new house, which we're moving to in about 10 days. So there's boxes everywhere house, which is kind of exciting.
That's going to be fun.
Yeah. So a new project and
What work needs to be done on that? What are you approaching that as far as from a project standpoint?
Oh, it's a little labor of love for sure. I don't like to buy a project that's, you know, that I can't make my own. So it's about a 58 or 60 colonial on a great big lot on the golf course, and it just has some good old 68 paneling that needs to come off the walls and some scary bathrooms so it's going to be really fun.
That'll be a fun project. So I want to talk first about how you got started in your career as a designer and how you started your business. When did you decide to be an interior designer?
Well, I actually have a degree in design, and I have a degree in accounting, and I have a master's in business, an MBA.
Okay.
So I got my accounting degree first, and really I had been introduced to interior design fairly early, like around age 10 or 12. My great aunt and my cousin were both designers in Fort Worth, Texas.
Yeah.
And they had design degrees from TCU. And so I would visit in the summer, and that was my first kind of introduction into this really fun industry. And I remember going into a commercial with them for a commercial project one time into an office store and just seeing all of this little swatches of leather on the wall, like looked like candy to me. And it was so much fun. I think I took like 10 of them off and said, can I take these home with me? I love color. I still do today, as you know. And it was just so exciting. But then, you know, in the early 90s in Arkansas, there were a few key designers, including Khaki Hawker-Smith, who has worked for the Clinton family. Mm-hmm. And she had worked for my parents a little bit, but I just didn't really think of interior design as a viable profession at the time. But it was right on the cusp of kind of the whole HGTV revolution and it really becoming, you know, an industry that was more accessible to more people. So not far into my accounting degree, because my dad said, get a good accounting degree, okay. You know, it'll always serve you well. I thought, well, you know, I don't want to do this anymore. I want to be a designer. So I went right back to school and got that design degree, got my MBA at the same time on some advice of a great design teacher. And it all just kind of went from there.
Well, that's really interesting to hear because I know that you went to Sam Walton College of Business for your MBA. And mm-hmm. That kind of describes two different sides of your business, your design education as well as your financial, your accounting education. So mm-hmm. How have those kind of both shaped your design business and how have they kind of played off each other? Does one take the lead, meaning is it a business approach to design or is it a design approach to business?
You know, really, I think of myself in my gut, in my heart, as an entrepreneur more than anything. I mean, okay. I love design and I'm great at design, but I think I'm really great at building business and running a business and that whole part. So I love the creative piece and I love that I get to work in design every day. But compared to some of my friends that are designers that are the uber, you know, off the charts creative, mm-hmm. You know, I have a piece of that. I'm both left and right brain and I definitely consider myself very creative and talented. But I think so many of my strengths lie in even the design process and the organization of it and the whole business side of that whole piece of, you know, which is so important because so many creative people don't have that.
Mm-hmm.
So that's been huge. And then, as you know, and we've talked about some, I'm now in the consulting business also and work with consumers and designers. I teach consumers how to design and I teach designers how to run design businesses. So it's really been such a great background to have and such a great tool that I can share with others in our industry, friends of mine that, you know, that's not their strength, that really say, you know, I need this piece. That's what I'm missing in my design business. So so that's been fabulous as well.
Well, that's interesting because you've got all of these other sides to your business other than just being a designer. You've taken mm-hmm. this really a new direction. There are people out there that kind of talk about design and they might even lecture it. Or, you know, when you go to design school, you learn to design. You don't very often learn the business side of it. So really taking that approach is interesting. And you're providing that for other clients and consumers, but also other designers. So talk about the ways that you're doing that.
So, well, you know, really this happened a few years ago, and I would say about 2009 when we all started feeling a little bit of the crunch of the recession.
Mm-hmm.
I was thinking, okay, I think this industry, our industry and a lot of industries, including my dad's telecommunication business, it's 100 years old, and a lot of other things that were sort of in my close, you know, circle, sphere of influence. You know, I was watching these businesses change so rapidly, and I thought, this business is not going to be anything like what it is now in just a few years. I could understand that from a business standpoint. And so I thought, what can I do to really start diversifying my revenue streams? So making, you know, my business more profitable and the cash flow better and all of those things. Here you can tell I'm more business-minded.
For
creative.
Sure, yeah, diversify,
really
cash flow,
speak.
Yeah.
And I was thinking, but, you know, if I'm going to do that, I want to do it with I want to do it with my strengths and my skill sets. I don't want to step away from design. I want to use my creative talents, but I want to make this be a viable business model moving forward. And I thought, you know, well, what do I have? And what do I have that I can give to other people? How can I serve other people?
Mm-hmm.
And I had for years had people want to follow me, shadow me in the interior design business. I would have all these calls all the time, people saying, you know, if I could just spend a week with you, I'll do anything. I'll clean the floors. I just want to get in. I would, you know, they'd say, if I could just get in your brain, I want to see what you do. And I thought, well, if people want to learn from me how to do interior design, then let's have a course or a class. And then I thought, but what really people need to know and what I really am strong in is the business of design. So I started creating different events for both design and the business of design. And I thought the design events were for consumers, but I have as many designers come to those too that just go, you do things different. You use color. I'm been in the business for years and I'm just, you know, kind of burned out and I need to be re-inspired. So it's this cool group of people that we work with now from all over the country. We've had several people from Canada that come work with us, particularly, you know, in Arkansas, which is kind of interesting. They travel a long way to get here. And we teach people how to design and how to get published if they're designers and all sorts of things that are things that I feel like are really my strengths. So it's fun, it's exciting, and I love transforming people's businesses maybe even more than transforming people's homes. It's all very, very exciting.
Well, that's a great way to look at it. I mean, obviously we deal in transformation, we're dealing in the industry, and when you can help a person that's a designer or that's creative kind of work on their business, make it better, whether it's cash flow or diversifying them or, like you said, getting them published, which brings, you know, typically traditionally more clients and more business, then you're helping them not just with a project, but with, you know, their overall, just their livelihood, right?
Right. And it's so rewarding. I mean, I love to help people and I love to share, and people say a lot of things about me that, you know, and probably think I'm crazy. I know there have been several editors that said, "You're crazy. You pitch other people's work to us." Nobody does that.
Right.
And I'm like, well, it can't just be the Toby magazine, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
So, you know, you need to know these people and they need to know you. And the same thing with design. I know what it feels like. I know all the pains of running a business. I know what it feels like when you go, uh-oh, where's payroll going to come from next week? Or, you know, it's really, really stressful. And so if I can help other people avoid that and help people make good decisions, it's only better for the industry. I mean, it doesn't do me any good as a designer to have the design industry failing. It just, you know, it doesn't. So I love to think of it, you know, from some old, I'm definitely into self-help and sales and listen to a lot of gurus and kind of an old saying that a lot of the people I follow have always used is standing on the shoulders of giants, meaning you can't get very far on your own. But if everybody stands on each other's shoulders, you get really high and really far. So I kind of think about what I do as that idea. Like if I've stood on the shoulders of other people in my life that have helped me, whether it be my parents who helped me get my business started or mentors or teachers. And so if I can do the same thing for other people, whether it's teaching people how to design and create a space in their home because maybe they can't afford to hire us as full service design, or maybe helping another designer make their business grow, then I feel like that's really a lot of my purpose of why I'm here and what I'm supposed to be doing.
Going back to mentoring and that kind of thing, how do people enroll in the process? How do people reach you? You said they call you and ask for, you know, if they can shadow you. It seems to me now that it's a little bit more structured. Do you have programs that are...
Definitely, yes, definitely structured now. So now we have some specific event that we teach over and over. Like I have a signature course about decorating and design called Design A to Z. And we have our most popular thing that I teach is called Designer MBA, which is really me teaching that business approach to designers in a 3-day course. And then we taught last year this really cool course called Getting Published and had some key editors. And I was going to just do that one time. I thought it was a one-time deal. And it was so popular and people loved it so much that we're going to do it again in December. The good news is any day now, it's sometime between September 15th and October 1st, supposedly. You know how this goes with websites.
Right.
I'm supposed to have an all-new, totally rebranded, gorgeous website that's looking magnificent, by the way. I keep seeing little bits of it every day, launch. And it for the first time ever, we're going to have every piece of what I'm doing located in one easy-to-use platform on the web with our new website.
Great. We'll make sure to point people in the right direction, but that's still going to be tobyfairley.com, right?
Yes, it is. Tobyfairley.com, yeah.
Right now, your blog is there, and I was able to pull up the design events that are coming up. You've got Design A to Z, October 8th through 10th. You've got Designer MBA November 12 through 14, and then the Getting Published, and then there's a social media strategy piece to that as well. Getting published December 3rd and 4th, and then social media strategy December 5th.
Yeah, so we get tons of requests because I've built my blog and my brand. Really, I've really built my business and my brand through my blog. And I started my blog in 2008. Yes, 5 years ago. I think it's 2008.
Well, you were one of the first bloggers that I knew that I actually met in person. You were one of the first designers that I knew that started and maintained a blog, whereas some of the other blogs that were on that early side of that curve were, fans of design that weren't designers themselves. Now, a lot of people certainly have blogs, but you were one of the first designers that I met that was doing it as well.
Yeah, I think that's right. I forget that, but a lot of my friends that are bloggers, you're right, are not designers. They were design enthusiasts or stylists or somehow maybe related to the industry, but were not practicing design. That's true. And I think that definitely was one of the reasons that my blog really catapulted me into some key press. It was very instrumental in me getting on the cover of House Beautiful in 2010. It was very instrumental in me being named to Traditional Homes Top 10 or 20 Young Designers, whatever it was in 2009, because blogs were starting to come about. They'd been around in other fields, but they were new to the design industry really about that time. And magazines started going, hey, what are these blog things we're hearing about? And are they our competition? But they're a resource for us. And, so it was some really great being at the right place at the right time, I guess, because I had started writing that blog and I loved it and I loved to write and I was really consistent with it. And I was putting out a lot of content and magazines were some of the first people that were coming to it. So I remember before Southern Accent went out of business, they were contacting me early on within the first 2 or 3 months saying, we see you're having a party. What is it? Can we come photograph it? And then Traditional Home contacted me and said, you've been nominated twice by some of our employees, our team members for our list. And we found your blog and we love what you're doing. And, then I had a meeting with, I kind of ran into Stephen Drucker and Newell Turner at the time at High Point, and they were able to see my blog and see what I was doing, and I submitted a project. So really, it was so powerful. It took what used to be a 10, 20, maybe 30-year process of being a small business in Arkansas to being, published, if it ever were to happen. And turning it into a, 2 or 3 month process of opening doors. And it was unbelievable. It really, social media has transformed so many businesses, but particularly our industry, I think, taking a lot of walls down and just made things accessible. And, I always think and teach other people that editors need us as much as we need them. They need great projects in their magazine, and they want to know who the up and coming designers are and all that kind of stuff. And we want to get published. So it's kind of a beautiful little matchmaking system now to have this sort of open, open-minded and open-door policy with the realm of social media.
Yeah, and it kind of calls back to what you said before about being an entrepreneur first. You took that on at a time where it wasn't, mainstream. I think blogs are definitely mainstream as far as a form of communication nowadays, but also you're doing that through Twitter, you're doing that through Facebook. It's all tied together. You even have a YouTube channel, you've gone the next step, which is video blogging and creating content that can be turned into other things that other people can use. Again, you mentioned the editors, and people always talk about getting published, and now it's more of an open conversation as opposed to, like you said, 10 minutes at a chance meeting at a trade show where you can actually define the conversation and say, I'm Toby Fairley, this is what I'm going to talk about today. Record it, distribute it, send it to all your followers, and people soak it up because they want your content in the first place. So,
right. And with our design business services, I'm working right now on recording. We're going to be launching a really cool cool product in probably January that is more downloadable. So, because people always say, well, do I have to come to you? And you get so much about out of the experience of coming and working with us in person. But I want to give more to people in the form of downloads. And then we're also doing a ton with video right now. We've been shooting tons of video. So when our new blog rolls out, there's a whole piece component of my new, not just blog, but new website, my whole site, that is Toby TV, and it's all of my video content and really going heavy on video. And I've been wanting to do that for a few years and have just been really busy and haven't taken the time. So we're really putting that into action right now, because I do sort of pride myself on being a progressive thinker, and I love to try things. And so particularly with the people we work with, and I didn't mention, we also have something called Mastermind, which is a 12-month mentoring program. So I have about 30 to 40 designers right now from all over the country that work with me for a whole year, and they come on site. They're coming next week, actually, Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday, actually, to work with me in person, and they're all a peer group, and they see me 3 times a year, and I do telecalls that they listen to every single month on hot business topics, and it's a really cool program. I modeled it after what a lot of the sales industry, kind of these gurus I follow, kind of what they do, and it's really working for me in our industry, but I'm trying to do more and more and more of that, ways to get people my ideas, my content, whether it's design or business, in the form of telecalls that they can just listen to, or podcasts like this one, and video, and because, you know, really, that's what people want these days. That's how the design industry has changed. People want access to information, and I feel like that's what I have to offer, is a lot of valuable business and design information, and I love being progressive and kind of, you know, have a good time with new ways to get this to people.
Well, it speaks back to that entrepreneurial spirit that you've got, you know, with Mastermind, with Toby TV, with a new website, with all those things. So I'm going to take it a little off track and ask you one question that's not design related. And when you're away from design, I understand you are a big yogi. You're a big practicer of yoga. Mm-hmm. How does that help you?
Well, a few years ago, I was just killing myself in this industry, probably around the time I started the blog, actually, because the blog, although it's super fun and has so paid for itself a million times over, meaning it didn't cost me much money, but it cost me a lot of time. But it was like a second job, a second full-time job, really. And my daughter, who's now 8, was really young at the time. So she was, what, 2 or 3 when I started that. And I was really exhausting myself. I was working, you know, almost 2 full-time jobs in a sense, and raising a small child and trying to balance life, and it wasn't working very well, and I was unhealthy and gaining weight and just not so happy, even though I was doing what I loved every day. It was kind of like, is this all, you know, is this really what I wished for? Be careful what you wish for, because you might get it. And I had it all that I really thought I wanted, and I wasn't healthy, and it wasn't working for me. So I had kind of been introduced to yoga before, but I really, about, I would say about 3 to 4 years ago, decided, okay, I'm going to get healthy. I was closing in on 40 at the time, so I'm almost 42 now. Mm-hmm. And I was like, you know, I'm going to kill myself at this pace. And so I need to get healthy. And I started practicing yoga first. I didn't change anything else. I found this unbelievable place of peace and a way to practice clearing my mind in the midst of chaos, because the design industry can be very chaotic, very stressful. You know, I mean, honestly, sometimes when you can't get a person's sofa here before their big event, their party of 80 people at their house, it almost does feel like life or death to those people, which is very stressful for us.
Right. But
when we can't control the vendor and the shipper and all that stuff.
It's just more room for dancing at the party. That's what I always
say. Exactly. Well, you like to have a good time. So you'd be good at spinning all of those crises.
Yeah,
for us.
I've had to spin a crisis or two in my time. Yeah. That's for sure.
But yoga's just become that thing, that tool for me. And really now I've taken a step further, and I meditate in the mornings. Okay. And so I use yoga and meditation to really keep myself centered and balanced and healthy. And it also really helps me when I'm working on kind of what I call birthing these big ideas, because it's hard to step away from running, because now I'm running more than one business, really. I'm running a consulting business and a design business, and they do overlap, but there's a lot of places they don't. And so when I'm really working on a new big idea or launch, I use these tools to help me get centered so I can get my ideas out of my brain and onto a piece of paper so we can really turn them into something that we can use to serve other people.
I love that. So one last question before we wrap up for the day, and that is, if you had your dream dinner party, whether you're hosting or whether it's at a restaurant, wherever you wanted it to be, who would be some of your dream guests, alive or dead, anybody in throughout history? Who's going to be there? What's on the menu? Describe for us the scene and some of the important details.
Well, this is easy for me because I have my certain list of favorite people in the world so I guess I've thought about this before. Maybe it's that this is the creative side of me. It would definitely be at my own house because I love to entertain, and I would want to be able to control the environment. I guess I'm a little bit of a control freak, too. Many of us are that are designers. I could imagine having it even kind of this time of year or moving into fall, which is my very favorite time of year, with the fire in the fireplace. And my guest would for sure be Oprah Winfrey, Dorothy Draper, my design idol, Coco Chanel, my fashion idol, and then my three power women plus three amazing men that are all from that guru kind of sales side of things that I talk about a lot, which would be Wayne Dyer, Tony Robbins, and Zig Ziglar, who have given me so much strength and so many ideas and tools and quotes and life philosophies that have really moved me, you know, through life and towards all the things I'm working on. So those would be my six fantasy guests. And I want to bring my mom and dad, too, who are both still young and healthy and alive, because they happen to like these people, too.
Yeah.
And we would serve something awesome for fall, like this amazing flank steak recipe maybe that I created for Traditional Home last year when we did an entertaining piece. And I'd have to make my great-grandmother's, her name, we called her Ma Bailey. So we would have to make Ma Bailey's old-fashioned caramel cake for dessert, for sure.
Ooh, yum.
It is so yummy, like the caramel icing runs down the side. It's so delicious. And I would have to serve that on my favorite antique pink and white dessert plates that my really close friend Kathy Greeley, who's a designer out of North Carolina, gave me for my 40th birthday. So that would be the table setting with our caramel cake for sure.
That's awesome. What we'll do is we'll get that recipe for the flank steak and for the caramel cake from Ma Bailey, and we'll put that up on the website.
Okay, cool.
What I want to do is close with all the places that our listeners can find you. We've got the new website, TobyFairley.com, coming out. You've got your blog. You've got you're on Facebook. Is it Toby Fairley Interior Design?
Yes.
Okay, I know you're on Twitter. Follow you at Toby Fairley.
Toby Fairley.
Pinterest, Instagram, you're on YouTube. Mm-hmm. I've found two channels, Toby Fairley and then Team Toby Fairley.
Yes.
Did I leave anything out? Where else can people find you?
All my staff. Well, we have our new Dallas office, so if you're in the Texas area, you can call us down there. We have our own phone number for Dallas and two associates working down there. So, plus I fly anywhere and all over the world to speak and to work. So, you know, I'm on the go a lot. So, virtually, yes, you can find me in all those places. And I do write for other sites like Williams-Sonoma and some other places sometimes, and you can find all of that on my blog. I'm constantly updating where you can find me and where I'm speaking, and we'll even have a better a way to do that on our new website that's going to talk about, you know, places that I will be speaking in the next few months, so people can kind of follow me and join me, hopefully.
Well, Toby, thank you again for your time. It's been great to have you on the show. It's really great to talk to you, and I can't wait for the next time that we get to meet and talk in person.
Thank you. I loved it.
Okay. That was my interview with Toby Fairley. I want to say a big thank you to her for being on the show. Lots of great information there for you to absorb, so rewind a few seconds and listen again if you missed any of it. Make sure to visit TobyFairley.com for her blog, links to all of her content, and all of her channels and social media. Find her in Little Rock and her new office in Dallas. I want to make sure to mention again Toby's Designer MBA program coming up soon, November 12th through 14th. Also upcoming is her Getting Published and Social Media Strategy session, December 3rd through 5th. Guest speakers at this session include Krista Rossbund of Traditional Home, Crystal Palachek of Rue, Michelle Adams of Domino, Cassandra Laval of Coco & Kelly, Julia Naran Johnston of Editor at Large, and Sandy Gilbert Freitas of Rizzoli, with author and designer Alex Papakristidis. That's a great lineup and a mouthful. Visit designcamp.tobyfairley.com for more details on how to attend. There's also a link on our website, Facebook, and Twitter that'll take you right there. Like us on Facebook, facebook.com/designandconversation, and give us a rating on iTunes, designandconversation@gmail.com. Thanks again for listening to this, our premiere episode. We're excited to bring you more dispatches from inside the world of interior design. And remember to keep design in conversation.